6 o'clock, and we are on Tzadi Tes Amar Aleph, and we are up to the Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th line into the wide lines. The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechon and Kohan Vim, and Isnabul Labali Tshuva. All the schad and the Nevi'im predict and prophesize the good for Klai Yisrael, is referring to people who did chait and then did tshuva. Ava tzadikim gemurim, people who didn't do chait. Ayin le'rasa l'kim zulasecha. No eye has seen except for the Rabbeinu Shlalom what the schar for those people will be. Pligid Rabavol, Damar Rabavol. This is an argument of Rabavol, because Rabavol said, Malkim shabali tshuva oindem sham tzadikim deis de'agayris gemurim, the Gemara says in Brachas. I think the lashon in the Gemara and Brachos is but here it says wherever tzaddikim, where Bali Tshuva stand, tzaddikim cannot make it there. So it seems to be a machloikus who gets more schar, those people who were did chait and came back, those people who never did chait. Now the Rambam writes, when he writes this halacha, that the reward for a Bali Tshuva is greater than for a tzaddik, he writes a very interesting thing. He writes because he has a bigger test. Since he has a bigger test, he gets a bigger reward, because he has an assignment to overcome. Like someone who never ate crab doesn't have a Yetzirah to eat crab. Someone who likes crab has to overcome a Yetzirah to eat crab. So he gets more reward. So Rav Huttner has a beautiful piece over here. Yes, so what does that got to do with tshuva? It's not the tshuva that gets him, makes him have more schar. It's the fact that he overcomes that. Let's say he didn't do tshuva on his original Aveira. But the Maisa, he has a greater Yetzirah. So he's going to get more schar because he conquers his more yetahara. So why does the Rambam say the Baal Tshuva schar is greater than a person that ever did the Aveira? Because he has the yetahara. The schar has nothing to do with the tshuva. The schar is a result of his overcoming the nisayim. The Rambam should say that one who did a chait once will receive more reward for not doing the chait again because he has a greater nisayim. Whether he did tshuva or didn't do tshuva is not the key here. The key here is the fact that he has to overcome a bigger desire. So Rav Huttner says the following answer. He says, Rav Yisrael Salanter says, a very big desire. Rav Yisrael Salanter says that Rabbeinu Shlalom does not take into account what people do to themselves. For instance, let's say a person is born lazy. He has a tendency to laziness. And he works on himself, and he gets up for davening on time every day. So he gets unbelievable schar. He's overcome this trait of laziness. Let's say, after 4 years or 3 years of doing this, he no longer has any test to get up in the morning. He's trained himself, he's programmed his body, body jumps out of bed in the morning. He will get all his life, he'll be rewarded as a lazy person who gets up to chakras. Because he created this situation that he's programmed. So he will get schar every single day of his life, as a person who overcame his laziness and got up to chakras, even though 3 years into it, he has nothing left of that desire to stay in bed. The same thing, unfortunately, is true the opposite way. A person who's, let's say, not lazy at all, and he develops the laziness trait, starts hanging around in bed, he doesn't go to davening. Now, 3 years into it, he's really lazy. It's very hard for him to get up to davening, and he misses davening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him an einish as a non-lazy person who missed davening. Because the laziness is his own doing. It was not a natural trait. It was something he developed. And the Rabbeinu Shlalom does not take that into account when he gives schar or a punishment. Dr. Huttner, why is this person getting more schar? Because he overcomes his desire. Why does he have the desire? Because he did the chait. How can he get rewarded for something that he put on himself? If he'd never done the chait in the first place, he would have never had the desire. But tshuva makes it like he never did it. Tshuva is oikar the action. So here is the person with a desire to do the chait, but he never did the chait, because tshuva eliminated the original chait. So therefore, he will get more schar for the next time he conquers it. If he doesn't do tshuva, he won't get more schar for the next time he conquers it, because this test that he's made, it's a man-made test. If you would never touch crab, you wouldn't like crab, you wouldn't have a desire. But since he does tshuva, the action's gone. The action's gone, he has a desire to eat the crab without ever having eaten crab, because the tshuva eliminated it. So So therefore, the makom shabali tshuva einden ain't tzadikin gemor michayim lamayt, because he gets rewarded for having the desire without it being attributed to a man-made desire. That's Rav Huttner's pshat. And therefore, the Rambam says that a person who did a chait and thus tshuva, he will get rewarded more for his future control because he's overcoming a desire. And it's not considered a man-made desire because the tshuva eliminated the original act. So therefore, it's there without it being attributed to any act. That's Rav Huttner's chiddush. Dr. Gemara writes.
You mean to tell me tshuva changes?
The Lashon and the Silsi Sharm. Akiris HaRatzin, Akiris HaMaisa. Tshuva means it never happened. You know, upstairs they have this video machine that it's a new invention. Sony doesn't have this yet, and that is they show you every action a person did, every word he said, and every thought he had. And they replay the machine after a person dies. They replay the machine and they show everybody the video of their life. If a person does tshuva, they splice the video. It's they eliminate things. And they eliminate things. The Gemara says tshuva me'ava nasin kizachias. Instead of doing an aveiri, doing a mitzvah. They have this ability upstairs in their video to they splice the video and they fix it up, depending on the person does tshuva or not. That's akiris haratzon, akiris hamaisa. Silsi Sharm says if a person does tshuva, he never did it. It uproots the whole thing. So therefore, he never did it. In the video, it's not there. It's gone. That's the Gemara bite. Well, it depends if they have to make it look like a shagig. There's it's a whole photography. They have a unit over there.
I think this metaphor has been stretched to the point where it's a complete failure.
It's true. Not true? They don't show a person is actually.
Oh, no, yes, they do.
So one part is not true. Besides the fact you don't like the metaphor, what else is not true about it?
No, it's just me.
Okay.
I don't like the metaphor.
Fine. Okay, listen, everybody's got their own taste.
I think we have a morbid fascination with Sfar Nidish, and it's not a business.
I'm not saying...
There is.
Yeah, it's one of the 13
Anamam. Right, exactly. But I think that, this idea...
It is our business, because it serves as a deterrent from doing chait. And that's fine.
Women and children.
I bet the Matilda Sharm says, Halavai, we should be those women and children.
Rabobah's a form of Rucha, says that Yira's Einish is level also. Yira is good.
It's good, so then what's wrong with it? So maybe you're on a higher level and you look down at it as women and children, but people like me still gain from having Yira. Okay. This early in the morning? Right. That's the Gemara of Eitzah. Upliga Ashadamer Shalom Shalom L'Rochak L'Karav. Shem says peace to those who were far and to those who were close. Bereisha Rochak. The person who was first. Bereisha Rochak B'Hadar Karav. I don't know if this is a question or not. It could be first to the one who was far and then to the one who was close. Right? So therefore, I think it's a question. Reisha Rochik Bader Karav. First Hashem says hello to the one that's far and then to the one that's close. The answer is my Rochik Rochik Dimikara. He says hello to the one who was far to begin with. My Karav Karav Dimikara. So the one who was far and made himself close gets to a higher level than the one who was originally close. My Karav Karav Dimikara. Uda Hashta. He was close at the beginning and he's close now. Rabbi Yechanan Amar. Rabbi Yechanan, who says that a tzaddik gomer is in a higher level. He says, Rochik shu rochik ma'aveira. Rochik means he's far from sin. Karav shu karav aveira. He was once close to aveira and it's rochik mimenu and he distanced himself from it. The trashi, leinisnabu taira, ayin leirasa, the end kates l'davar, there's no end. Tzaddikim ain't amind him. Tzadikim don't stand. The kotel kleichem shabali tshuva she'ain beru yichayim lamed b'mechitzasam. No creature will be able. No created thing will be able to be in there. Mechitzasam means in there. What? No, mechitzasam means in their area. In their separate area. Area. Yes.
What's begins about the argument whether or not the more are at a higher level? Where they're born at.
I think we're viewing Bali Tshuva in a different context than the Gemara is viewing it. We view Bali Tshuva as someone who grew up in a non-religious atmosphere and became from, and he's called the Bali Tshuva. That's not the Gemara's interpretation of Bali Tshuva. The Gemara's interpretation of Bali Tshuva is a person who was from, who went and did Chatoim, and now is remorseful that he did Chatoim and is returning. It has nothing to do with where he grew up. It has to do with what he made of himself. So the question is, this person who slipped and came back, right, Tshuva's Mechaper, is bring him back to the level as if he never did it, or maybe beyond, or does it never reach that same level? That seems to be the question at hand. Meaning, here is, we're not dealing with people who did not grow up religious and became religious. That's not the issue. This is a modern day use of the word Bal Tshuva. In the time of the Gemara, that didn't exist. What existed where everybody grew up religious, and some people did things with their lives that they were remorseful for afterwards. The question is, Tshuva uproots the Aveira. Does it bring the person beyond the level of who he was before, or not quite up to the level he was before? Now your question, what difference does it make to us, is a great question. Because Dr. Schwab a few minutes ago said, not our business, Chayva Einish anyway, so why are we so interested in this? Why does Gemara have an argument on this? The only thing I can think of is in how we view those people. Are we viewing them greater than Tzaddikim, or are we viewing them lesser than Tzaddikim? Might not come in, I'm not 100% sure.
I would say that the
The Nevi'im did not say prophecy about the great Tzchar. They were not talking about Tamid HaChachamim themselves. They were talking about people who had contact with Tamid HaChachamim. They either married their daughter off to Talmud Chacham, Isa Prakmatya the Talmud Chacham. They did business for the Talmud Chacham. They enabled the Talmud Chacham to make ends meet. Mahana Talmud Chacham in the Chassav, or some who gives the Talmud Chacham pleasure from his property, again, enables the Talmud Chacham to survive. Have a Talmud Chacham Atzman, but the people that learn themselves, Ayin Le'Rasa Le'Kim Zolatecha, no eye has ever beholden it except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I want to speak out of Ramesha. Not everyone agrees to this Ramesha, but I think it's a very, it's an interesting Ramesha. It's a big Kiddush. This is Ramesha's approach. Ramesha approaches Yisachar Zvulun differently than everybody else does. Most people say Yisachar Zvulun is, you give money to a kaiul, you give money to a yeshiva, you become a Zvulun. You become a supporter of Torah, and therefore you are a Zvulun. And therefore, going to, based on that, the Gemara is saying, it's great to be a Zvulun, but it ain't no Yisachar. Because this Zohar written by the Nevi'im are for those people who support Talmid HaChachamim, make it possible for Talmid HaChachamim to exist, and they are the ones that will get the Zohar, great amounts of Zohar, that the Navi writes about. The Talmid HaChachamim himself, he's beyond that, no one has ever seen the Zohar he's going to get. But Moshe has a big Kiddush. He says, Zvulun has nothing to do with Zakah or supporting Torah. Zvulun is a business deal. He says a Yisachar Zvulun agreement cannot be taken from Meister money. Yisachar Zvulun is a business deal. You take a business partner and you go to the Yisachar and say, listen, let us become partners. And you decide the percentage of partnership. And he becomes a business partner in everything that you earn, and you become a business partner in his Torah. This is not supporting the Talmud Chacham of Nisim Prakmatya the Talmud Chacham or Mahana Nechas of the Talmud Chacham. This is not Zucker money. Meister money is not allowed to be used for this. This is a pure business investment. That's our Ramayshabu and Yisachar Zvulun. And they write a contract. And the contract says, Reuven and Shimon are now business partners. Reuven is giving 50% of his profits. It could be 50%, it could be 25%, it could be 5% to Shimon. And in return, Shimon is giving 10%, 15%, 20% of his tira to Reuven. They now are business partners, and Reuven, and the Zvulun in that case, Dr. Meisha, gets the same schar as the Yisachar. It is not a supporting role. It is a partnership. It's two business partners. We don't view one partner as supporting the other partner. We view it as a partnership in thing. They're both earning the money, and they're both learning the Torah. That's how Ramesha learns it. Therefore, he says you can't use your Meister money, and therefore he says if you give your money to yeshiva, that's not Zvulun. That's supporting Torah. It's a great mitzvah. It's unbelievable. That's not Yisachar Zvulun. Yisachar Zvulun is a percent. This is Ramesha's chiddush. Not everybody agrees to him. Everybody else seems to assume Zvulun means supporting Torah. He learns Zvulun money cannot come from Maaser Meitzer. Zvulun money does not mean giving yeshiva money. Doesn't mean giving a kailul money. It means creating a business partnership. You have partners. You can have one partner. You can have eight partners. You can have 20 partners. It's a business partnership with the money not coming from Meitzer. He does not view this Gemara of Mahanet Meisi Bitzel Tamachacham, Meitzer Pragmati Tamachacham, Mahani Tamachacham Chasav have anything to do with Zvulun. He says clearly, Zvulun is Yisachar. The partners get the same amount of schar as each other, and they share a profit. It has nothing to do with an amount of money. I give you $1,000, I'm not a zvulun. If I give you 3%, I am a 3% partner. Now, you are a 3% partner in my business, and I'm a 3% partner in your Torah. And it moves up till 50%. So Ramesha writes in his tshuva, it's a long tshuva, this is Ramesha's chiddush of Yisachar zvulun. Not everybody agrees to it. In fact, it's a big chiddush. I don't think anybody beforehand ever said that. Yes. I mean, it's no big deal. Ramesha says many things that he holds that way. Yes.
How far do we want to get into Ramesha as opposed to getting into Gemara?
Not far, because we're not here to talk to Ramesha.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
Why don't you understand it at all?
You're assuming the visibility of something which is infinite.
Again, that's the chiddush of Yisachar's rule. That Yisachar went to learn.
How chiddush? The logical impossibility.
Again. The Torah mate says there was such a thing called Yisachar Zvulun. The Meisha says Yisachar Zvulun was a partnership.
I know
obviously, the Torah allowed for partnership to be created in this infinite manner. It's exactly what he says. You can't argue in the Meisha on a logic. That's for sure not. Not worth it.
I didn't say he was wrong. I said I don't understand it.
Okay, that's how he learned Yisachar Zvulun.
This
is a tshuva in your day. This is not tzedakah. He holds it's not tzedakah. Can't use your mind to money for Zvulun. It's nothing to do with tzedakah. Giving to yeshiva tzedakah, giving to kailul tzedakah, giving to matan b'seisher tzedakah, giving to a poor person tzedakah, giving to bikur chaylim tzedakah. These are all tzedakahs. Yisachar Zvulun is a business deal. Nothing to do with tzedakah. You're not giving charity, you're not giving nothing. You want a business deal, you have a business deal. You don't want a business deal, don't have a business deal. It's a business deal, totally divorced from tzedakah. This is Ramesh's chiddush. Again, we're not belittling tzedakah, but if a guy wants to have a Yisachar Zvulun to the Ramesh's way of doing Yisachar Zvulun, it is a business partnership. Yes?
Is Ramesh hold also that you're taking the risk if you take the wrong part of it?
Well, it's always that way. It's no difference in everything else. That's the way life, you know, in business, it's a business partnership.
But it's a different business because what happens is the person who has the money, 3% he's giving up, right?
And he's getting 3% of his learning.
Okay, yeah, but so the person who's learning, shouldn't they take away any of
that's machlokes, it's whether he loses chayr or doesn't lose chayr. Yeah, it's a big argument. According to Ramesh, chayr, you would have to say that. Unless, because it's infinite, it doesn't work that way, but I'm not going to go that way. I wanted to mention it because I thought it was a beautiful chiddush with Gemara, and I went, I want to go by
it.
Yes.
I realize one of the aspects of Cantor's blue theory is that you can have different sized infinites, so it actually would be able to diminish an infinite set and have it remain infinite. And this is where you'd have to go.
Okay, I'm just saying what Ramesh told.
So you couldn't set up your suckers to go and pay a certain amount of money?
That's not a Yisachar Zvulun partnership. That's what he says. That's Mahana. Again, I'm not belittling that. I want to make it clear. That's Eiser Prakamatya. That's Mahana Tamachokum in the Chazan. It's not a business deal.
What about, is it a salary? You can't set up a...
Salary's not a partner. Salary's not a partner. Yisachar Zvulun is a partnership. That's what Meisher writes in his Tshuva.
So if Yisachar has two
tshuvim, it's not halacha l'maaseh here. I'm just speaking out that we're not passing halacha l'maaseh. We don't give halacha l'maaseh here.
If Yisachar has two partners, each giving 50%, he gets no schar.
So he shouldn't have two 50% partners. I mean, I don't know how Ramesh deals with that, but it would be inadvisable unless he 50% of what's left. You know what I mean? Marries his daughter off to Talmud Chacham, which means it's a way of supporting the Talmud Chacham. He's enabling the Talmud Chacham to have a family. Because sometimes the people don't want to marry somebody to come. They're going to struggle for panos all their life. Why should my daughter marry?
Maybe he's going to support.
No, it doesn't mean monetary support. It enables Tabal Chacham to have a family.
Yeah, and did you already cover what it means that they didn't, well, it's not with Ella, that they're not telling the word to anybody else but these?
No. All the schar you see there are given to people that learn Torah and not referring to the learners of Torah.
What is, no,
all the greatness, great goods that they predict that they prophesied about is only referring to these people. Come to Gemara Bites. My ayin le'rasa. What does it mean, ayin le'rasa? Amr b'shulam levi. By the way, this is Ramesh's sheets. I want to make it clear. Others disagree. Others learn Yisachar's bull can be done with an amount of money. Yisachar's bull is just another way of giving tzedakah. Can be used to meister money. There's a whole tshuva, I think, in Menachos Yitzchak. Is it better to give many people a little, one person more? This is where he deals with it, and he approaches Yisachar's bull as a regular person who gives tzedakah, and you get a share of his learning, and it can be a flat amount, and it can be to a yeshiva, and it can be to a kaitel where you support many. This is what the other people, other great Talmid HaChachamim, assume. Ramesh is the one that writes this Kiddush and how Yisachar Zvulun works. That's the Gemara Vayitzer. My ayin le'rasa, what does it mean, I have never behold? I'm Rabbi Shulman Levi, the yayin ha'meshumer ba'anav of Mishesh Yisimei Breishas. This is the wine that has been kept in its grapes from Shesh Yisimei Breishas. Exactly what that signifies, I'm not sure, but obviously wine is something that relaxes both body and mind. The Mefarshim speak out that it is something that will affect both Neshama and Guf, and this is what the Talmid HaChachamim will be Zeichetum. Rosh Lakish Amar is the Eden. It refers to Eden. Ve'rasa Ayin Me'aylam. Ayin Timer Adam Hechandar. Wasn't Adam in Gan Eden? The answer, he lived in Gan. He lived in the Garden of Eden. Vim Timer Gan Hu Eden. If you think it's the same, Talmud Leimer V'nor Yaitzimei Eden Lahashkis Es Hagan. There's Eden, and in front of it, Eden, is the Gan Eden. Other Marishan lived in the Gan of Eden. The Talmid HaChachamim will enter Eden itself, whatever that means. Obviously. Rashi, the Rashi, Bereisha L'Rochim, Shinesrachik Men HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Akrach Shavei L'B'Tshuva, and then he did Tshuva. V'Hodesh Shalom L'Karav Mikara, Tzadik Gomer, Tzadik Gomer, the Godel K'Echon Shavei L'Tshuva. Sheirachik Men HaVeira Kol Yamav, V'Hainu Tzadikam. Okay, we are now going back to the Mishnah. One of the people that lose Olam Haba, we talked about the first one, he took us 9 blocks. And that was the one who was Kaifer B'Tchias HaMesim. Ha'aymer ain't Tchias HaMesim in Atayra. From Tchias HaMesim, we moved on to many different subjects, from Kerev and Golos. We covered many different topics under the heading of Ha'aymer ain't Tchias HaMesim in Atayra. Now we move on to the next one in the Mishnah. It's the one that says, Ha'aymer ain't Tchias HaMesim in Hashemayim. One who denies the divinity of Torah, and Abikairus, whatever that may be. Back to Gemara, Aymer Ein Torah Min Hashemayim. Tana Rabbanim. It says in the pasuk, Kidvar Hashem Baza, the person who has degraded the words of Hashem, Umitzvasa Hefer, and has nullified his commands, Hikaris Tikaris. Who is that referring to? Now the pasuk is written in the context of Avodah Zarah. But I guess from the fact that it speaks out the words, Dvar Hashem Baza, we are including things that are Dvar Hashem Baza. The words of Hashem he has degraded. The Aymer Ein Torah Min Hashemayim. That includes one who denies the divinity of Torah is degrading the words of Hashem. The Barachah Dvar Hashem Baza, the Apikairis. That refers to someone who is an Apikairis. What Apikairis is, will be discussion on the bottom of the Amid Beis. So we will leave it to there. The Barachah Kidvar Hashem Baza, that Magala Panim Batayra, and Rashi says to wait for the Amid Beis, but there I'll already tell you what it is someone who questions the necessity of certain sukkim in the Taira, thinks it's a waste of time and waste of ink, and therefore is degrading Taira. Like the Gemara gives an example that the Taira tells you who Laitan. Laitan's sister was Timna. Why in the world do I have to know who that Shiksa Timna was? Why is it important for the Torah to speak about that? Somebody who questions that and therefore says that there's Torah there that's not necessary, that's a megalopon of the Torah. At least the word according to one of the explanations. There'll be more explanations. That's mitzvasa hefer. What does it mean he nullified his command? The hamefer bris basar. Rashi learns he does not do bris mila without an overriding reason, because if he has a medical reason for not being able to do it, he's putzer. But we're talking about a person that doesn't do bris mila. Other Rishonim learn, based on Yerushalmi, it means a person who had bris mila, but then tries to correct his body that he should not look like a nimol. The Gemara calls that a meishach arlosai, one who tries to make himself look like he didn't have a bris mila. He carries the carries of a carries of a lamazah, he carries the carries of a lamabah. Rashi, Apikairis, Megal upon him, Betair, Mekaporish, and Kaman will be explained later. Bris Mila. Mila. That's the Gemara right to Mikan.
But if a person, let's say in that situation, would do tshuva, that's fine, right?
Well, would have, every tshuva works for everything. The Gemara says, the person's a rush all his life and just tshuva the last minute, yesh lechelek v'alam abba. Yesh lechelek v'alam abba does not mean he does not have to go through Gehenna. Yesh lechelek v'alam abba means he ultimately ends up in Gan Eden. Well, there are people that ain't lechelek v'alam abba, whatever that means, it seems they don't ultimately end up in Gan Eden. That's for people who have a chelek v'alam abba. Well, without the Mukubalim, Rabbi Schwab is jumping at the bit to try to tell me the Kabbalistic look at it. Without the Kabbalah, without the Kabbalistic look at it, Pashtas, there are people that don't make it in Tzaylam Abba. Mukubalim say that ultimately no such thing ever happens. The Rabbani Shalom sends the Neshama back enough times till it gets its way in Tzaylam Abba. But Pashit in the Gemara, there are people that never make it into Gan Eden. Those are the people that Eilam Chelik Eilam Abba means they never make it there. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about people that are there, the Zairadiris. The Gemara talks about the Shamas that are broken up and made ashes. There's all kinds of different solutions that the Gemara offers and talks about for those kind of people.
But Rebbe just said that tshuva makes it as if it wasn't done.
There's degrees of tshuva. Again, let me explain. And again, this is not the time to do this, but let me explain anyway. And that is, there's two parts to chet. One is the distance that it creates between the person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who does chet is distance from Hashem. And again, we're not talking about people born in a situation. We're talking about people who are from and deliberately did chet, or did chet with negligence, ended up doing chet, and now are being remorseful. So chet has caused two things. A, distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which results in Eilam Chelik V'Eilam Abba and certain Chatoim, because this distance is so great that the Neshama is like, quote-unquote, tossed out. And two, is that it makes stains. Chatoim creates stains. Tshuva immediately eliminates the distance between the Neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if Chet was never done. Best friends. But the stain is still there. And in order for the neshama to be able to have the pleasure of Gan Eden, the stains have to be removed. So tshuva is a little bit of a stain removal. Yom Kippur is a little bit of a stain removal. Nachmana Litzlan Yisurim is a little bit of a stain removal. Yom Hanisa is a stain removal. And Gehenna is a stain removal. It's like the Mesfarshim say, a person gets dust on his clothing. So he can go like this and it comes off. Then there are stains that need a little bit more. And then there's stains that need a wash machine. And then there's stains that need pre-wash, plus wash machine, plus who knows what. These are all stains of the neshama. So even though tshuva removes distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the person, right, the Rambam says, yesterday he was far and abominable, and now he's close and beloved, and that can happen instantaneously. That's what tshuva does. A person who's truly remorseful, all that distance is gone. Right? He's remorseful and he says he won't do it again and he says vidui. All that distance is gone. But the stain is not necessarily removed from the Shema. The assays are right away removed. But the light asses and the chayv increases and the chayv mitzvahs bezen and chilu Hashem, there are areas that the stain has not been removed. So now the stain removal has to be called in. So comes Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a stain removal. And removes the next level of stains. And it weakens the other ones. Comes Rachmana Litzlan Yisurim, and Yisurim can be anywhere. The Gemara says if a guy sticks his hand in his pocket looking for a nickel and it's in the other pocket, that's also Yisurim. Those are the kind of Yisurim we can live with. And they're Mechaper, the next degree of stain removal. And the third, the last one, Scho Hashem, which is Yom HaMisa. Now, if a person didn't get all stains removed in this world, so he needs a cleansing process. And there is upstairs a cleansing process to get his neshama ready to be able to go into Gan Eden. That's what happens to people who do tshuva, who are not on the level of Eilam Chelik V'Eilam Abba. People who are Eilam Chelik V'Eilam Abba, and again, I'm not going with the Mukubalim approach that ultimately everybody ends up in Eilam Abba, but going Pashit, then they aren't, they are, the distance is there, it's never been gapped, it's not unless the person does tshuva, it's not something that can be brought together again, and therefore the neshama is.
Why is it chuvah
ma'ava? Is his chuyos, right? So chuvah ma'ava, some say, can remove. There's a Ben Yain, I believe, that says that's a huge stain removal. Huge stain removal. It can save a lot of yisurim. By the way, Torah and Gemilas Chasadim can save a lot of yisurim, because a person who puts this effort into learning, where he does chesed, these are considered instead of yisurim too. That's a bit. We're not learning Shari Chuvah now, but Ben Yain has a whole section of how a person can get kaparas avayinus and mitigate not having to suffer so much and not have to go through all these stain removals. He can remove it in a nicer way.
Tikkores, it seems like
that's the person that didn't do tshuva.
What I'm saying is that if he would do tshuva, even if he would be able to clean himself up completely.
Yes, well, he might need a cleanser, but ultimately he'll be clean completely. Correct. The cleaner says, I can get the stain out.
Okay,
I use wash machine, but it's the same idea. Hospital, you guys used to say that the Shema might need medical care. Same idea. Mikan Amar Rav Lazar Amidoy, Hamachalos Hakachim, one who desecrates Kabanis. That's Dvar Hashem. That's called Dvar Hashem. He treats the Yamim Taivim in a embarrassing. He degrades Yamim Taivim. Rashi interestingly says it goes on Kol HaMoed. Other Rishonim say it goes on Yom Tov. But that boils down to the Machlokes. Rashi holds that certain Malachas are biblically prohibited on Kol HaMoed. Other Rishonim learned only rabbinically prohibited on Kol HaMoed. So to be into Dvar Hashem Bazo would have to be a biblical thing, and therefore it would be, according to Rashi, would include Chol HaMoed. According to other Rishonim, it would only mean Yom Tov. Hamevir Brisa Shel Avraham Avinu goes on to a Brisi Hafer. The Pasuk says as Brisi Hafer, that's referring to somebody who nullifies the Bris. Hamagal Upanim Shetayra Shalai Kalacha, he uses Tyra in the wrong way. Can I just finish one line? And Rashi takes out Hamal Mnei Chaver Barabim. Rashi says, because that has nothing to do with Var Hashem. And in Avos, where the Jewish is there, Rashi says in Avos, I don't know Pshat. I don't know how Mal Mnei Chaver Barabim fits into Var Hashem. Some want to say, since man is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, every man is Var Hashem. And therefore, if you embarrass a person in public, you are degrading Dvar Hashem, a creation of Hashem. That's what some want to say. Rashi says he doesn't know Pshat. Yes. Well, I'm not trying to figure out what you want me to say.
I want you to get me off the hook, I guess. That is, one makes it a very weekday week, and just business as usual, then one's in big trouble.
Again, I think the limud zchus.
No, I'm saying if one has to go to
the
parnasan, has to work.
Well, there's halakha guidelines.
Yes.
A lot of people are allowed to work on Kol HaMoed.
Yes, I understand that. One goes within the halakha guidelines.
But the answer to you is that most of the people that today don't follow halakha guidelines, they're not aware of the severity of the halakha guidelines of Kol HaMoed. What?
I'm
going to
give you an
Einish
who's going to work
on a Einish
is for taking
up his time. Biddingsburg, acting like it's weekday. Yeah, there's a theorem. I'm not here to question. There's a walking guideline. Many people can go to work and call a mite legally. He said the Vart. That is, you can go to work, you can do anything, but it should be within a framework. It's not a regular weekday. But again, we're not here to possibly this. I think a lot of people that go to work that treat it like a regular weekday are unaware of the, you know, that Mishnah Berurah in the first page of Hilchos Chol HaMoed says, brings a Yerushalmi, that had Rabbanan known what people do in Chol HaMoed, it would have been matzah for a person to go to do work rather than what they do when they don't work on Chol HaMoed. That's what the Yerushalmi says. wasn't intended that people should go do their, you know, their tours and their. It's intended that people should use it to grow in ruchnias. The Yerushalmi says, had Rabbanim seen the consequences of what happens with the Isra Malach and Chol HaMoed, they would have said to people, just go to work, just stay out of trouble. But the Maisa, they didn't. But that's the Yerushalmi says. So it's an, you know, again, it's a lack of understanding of what Chol HaMoed is all about. That's the Limud Chos. Rashi. Maver Beisvasa Hainu Es Bisi Hafer Mikan. I'm sorry. And Apatza Gazesha Kotza Pidvaya Shem Pato the Bizayinu. All these things are Bizayin. Maver Beisvasa Hainu Es Bisi Hafer Miyadus Chaylu Shomboi. So to Gemara Baitse. Obviously, as we are the Torah of Maisim, Toiv Mein Lechel Chaylu Shomboi. Tanya Yidach. Kidvaya Shem Pato the Ayim Ayim Torah Ben Hashemayim. One who claims that there's no divinity in the Torah. He says one pasuk for Amrak Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Moshe mebiatzmei. Moshe wrote it on his own. Moshe didn't write a thing in Torah on his own. Everything was dictated by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Even Elu Hadvarim that Moshe said became part of Torah when Hakadosh Baruch Hu dictated it. Zel d'kidvar Hashem baza. Afilu Amrak Kol Torah Kulam and Hashemayim Chutz miDigdug Zeh. Besides the extra letter or the missing letter, Chutz miKavu Chaymer Zeh. And the way Mefarshim learned it, he denies the power of Kal V'Chaymer. He says, you cannot use logic to figure things out, which is one of the Shleishes Shemidah Shatarim addresses them. He calls them Gzeirah Shavazu. He says, those Gzeirah Shavaz that the Tanoim are quoting are man-made. Didn't come from Sinai. Zel Gzeirah Shem Baz. Tanya Hoi Remei Reim Ratlai Matar Revei Malamda. I disagree with your percentages.
98%.
No, I would think much, much less. Much, much less. You think only 2% of Yidden are Shemir Torah Mitzvahs?
Less than 10%.
Not more than 10%.
I'm not sure.
Demographers argue that by the
20th
century...
I think we're off the subject. No, you don't mind. It just... The answer is... What are you trying to say?
Sorry, we're right on the subject.
Right, so, I mean, they're Tinnik Shanishmas.
Why? So what?
So Tinnik Shanishmas is an onus. The guy grows up in an environment that he's not taught Torah, he doesn't know what Torah is, so you can't blame him. It's not held to blame. I will tell you, I hate to do this in the middle of the year, but I'll tell you a gorgeous story. A beautiful story to me illustrates, might help enlighten this. A lady told me that Rabbi Weinberg saved her life. My Rebbe, Rabbi Weinberg. How did he save her life? He says she went to Yisrael and she became a Baal Shuvah. She came back to the States and her parents were very upset. And they, you know, these were nice people, but they had not grown up. They put unbelievable amount of pressure on her to revert to her former ways. Unbelievable amount of pressure. And she felt very guilty going against her parents. Good lady, good girl. Her parents are putting a lot of pressure, and she felt she was undermining her parents by not listening to them. So she went to speak to Rabbi Weinberg. So Rabbi Weinberg told her, if you want to do Kibbut Av Ha'Aim, if you want to do your parents the biggest favor, what's her name again? Become Frum. She said, my parents will hate me for the rest of my life. He says, you don't understand. Your parents are totally exonerated from any punishment because they don't know anything. How are they supposed to know? They grew up in an environment nobody ever taught them anything. But on the other hand, they also don't have many mitzvahs to them. Because they don't know, they don't have many mitzvahs. So they won't get punished, but they're not going to get reward, much reward. They didn't do many mitzvahs. He said, but if you become frum, you will give your parents mitzvahs. You will give your parents mitzvahs because they brought you into the world that are doing mitzvahs, and your mitzvahs will count for them. So you're giving your parents char. It's the biggest kibbut av you can do, amen, you can do. So it strengthened her, and she was able to maintain her from kite, she's from lady, and she felt that she was doing the biggest kibbut av ha'aim by doing that, by resisting her parents at that time. Now, what it's saying is, people are not to blame for what they don't know. But unfortunately, if they don't have somebody producing mitzvahs for them, they're going to have problems of how they're going to get schar. But they're not going to be punished for what they don't know, because they don't know. So what do you want from them? It has to be lahachis or negligence, we call it. Negligence. Which means people aren't careful on mitzvahs. Lahachis means deliberate.
This is a theological debate over here.
Yes, yeah, so this would have to be someone who understood Torah and then decided that, right. And there are, unfortunately, not, Baruch Hashem, there are not that many like that today. But 100 years ago, when Haskalah was prevalent, there were people who were from, grew up from, and then began theological arguments against Torah. That did exist at one point. Today, it's, you know, as Ben-Gurion once said, you have to know how to learn to be an apikairist. You can't be an apikairist if you don't know how to learn. Right? You have to know what you're resisting. If you don't know, then you can't be called, you can't be denying something you don't know what it is. And that's not me that said, as they quoted from Ben-Gurion, somebody once came to ask him something. If you don't know how to learn enough to be an apikairist. He said it to the guy. Ben-Gurion himself had learned in school, in Shiva, and he had learned in the place. You can't be a papyrus, Thomas. You have to know what you're doing.
I think
people from quoting Khan. That's like that. Quoting right. In Tanya, we learned. Ramei Reimer. Hi, Ramei Reimer. I learned the one who teaches, learns Torah and doesn't teach it. Del Dvar Hashem Baza. Not important enough for him to pass it on to others. One who's not careful about Mishnayos, he doesn't take Torah Shabbat Peh seriously. He's a Torah Shabbat Ksav person. That's Dvar Hashem Baza. Even though it's only words, it's not written. He has the ability to learn and decides not to learn. That means he's not giving Torah its proper chshivas. Shmuel says it's referring to somebody who's a Zara. That was Dvar Hashem. Hashem told us directly, Anoichi v'lo yiloch, that we heard directly from Hashem. The Tanar Rebbe Shmuel, I'm sorry, my Mashmuel, how do you know that? Tanar Rebbe Shmuel, Dvar Hashem buzzes, and Vaza Dibu Shenemelo Lemoshe Mitzinai. That Hashem said, they changed the gears here, the Gra says, takes out Shenemelo Lemoshe. Shenemelo Lemoshe Mitzinai, he says. Anoichi Hashem Alekechem, lo yiloch alohim acherim. Rashi. So Rashi digs the Gzech Aseris Yiseris. That's missing word letters and extra letters. Kavachem is them. Gzeri Shavazu. Shavu Rabbi Gzeri Shavu. Gomer Merabbi. He they changed the Gersi here as well. Shamaloi Rabbi Gzeri Shavu. His Rabbi told him Gzeri Shavu. But Loi Gomer Merabbi, and he doesn't accept it. He says, Nah, it's made up. The Mishnah is a Shoyis Oysa Kamechian Iker. He makes Torah Shabbat Peh, not Iker. So Ivan Abed Zarah and Dvar Hashem, Dibur Shadavar, Dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'atman Yisrael. This is the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says himself to Yisrael. V'naychi v'lo yilach m'pi ha'gvura shemanim, v'naychi v'lo yilach we heard from Hashem. Tata Gemara Baiter. Rebbe Shul Ben Karcho Eimer. Ka'olay m'tayra v'ayna chayzer alel. One who learns Torah and doesn't review it, Dayim al-Adam shazereya v'ayna chayzer. It's similar to a person that plants and doesn't harvest. He plants, but he doesn't do anything with it. He doesn't remember it. Rashi Chayzul Lushnaisa. Shuaim Kalim Tyrim Mishakha, when a learns tyrant forgets it, Daimalisha she let us in the Kaveris. The woman that gives birth and buries, we have no pleasure from that. Nobody gains anything. If a person learns he doesn't retain, he's losing the main gain, one of the main gains he can have from his Tyra, that he retains it. The Bakiva Aimer, the Bakiva says, and Rashi has two pshatim in this, I'm gonna learn the first pshat. Zemer Bakal Yaim, Zemer Bakal Yaim. If you want to have Eilam Haba, you should organize your learning like a song. Meaning, just like you know the song and you repeat it, so also, I'm sorry, you know the song well, you organize your mind how the song goes, you should have Torah organized in your mind, it should be organized, and therefore, by organizing it, you'll get Eilam Haba. That's how Rashi learns the first pshat. So Rashi, Zemer B'chol Yayim, Hayyem Masadur Tamudecha. Organize your learning, even though you already have it organized to Zemer. It's like a song. If you make Torah organized like a song, it will cause you to have song in Olam Haba. Where do we see that in the passage? The person toils in Torah, Torah will toil for him and get him Olam Haba. Because he put a saddle on his mouth. Meaning, he, just like a saddle is on the donkey, Torah is on his mouth. That's the first shot on Rashi. Who amo b'makam zeh, v'tayrah seh melusle b'makam achar. He works this world, and Torah works for him in the next world. Rashi, nefesh amo l'meleloi, mesha amo b'tayrah, since he worked in Torah, Torah melusle, Torah toils for him. He akiv alapiyu, mesha hu mesim dvaram b'tayrah, he puts words in his mouth, tamid, ukim shalach amar, like a saddle on a donkey. Lishnachrina, nubshat. that Zemer b'chol yoyim, Zemer b'chol yoyim means you know the song and you review it and you review it and you review it anyway. You enjoy the song. So if a person constantly reviews Torah, Dr. Rashi, let's read it inside. Lishnah Queen is Zemer Klemish Oisig Bashirum Bizmiris Tamir Tadir Tadir. Nasa Zemer. Right? When a guy constantly repeats the song, it becomes like, you know, part of him. Kacha Khajra Allah Tairam, Nasalois Dur Baviv. You constantly chazer, you'll become no Tairam. Tyra say Metlusloy. So Rashi learns the second shot, not the Tyra will get joy Lumhava. Shemakzeros Allah Umadakeshus Mace Kaina. Unbelievable Rashi. Tyra goes to the Rabbinic Shalom and says, Limsalai time is Tyra's Dreha. Says this person's working in Tyra. Give him the understanding of Tyra. Tyra goes and acts as a goes to the Rabbinic Shalom and says, look at this person, he's toiling in Tyra. Give him the ability to understand it deeper. But they piu, going to the second shot means piu al Tyra. He bent his mouth into learning. So Tyra toils for him, he should be able to understand learning much better. Yes.
Language is difficult given the Gemara and Brachos first parak that David was punished because he turned Smiris.
Right, so that's they asked the question. And the answer there, he was not trying to say this. He was trying to say, sounded like it was less, I mean, we have to understand David HaMelech, but here it's that saying, with his Amo and Tyra, he should have a constant like a song. They talk about it, they make a loop.
I mean, it happens, I mean, but.
It's not in First Barak of Brachas, by the way.
Because it was still known, though.
I know, it's Mirza Hiluk of Yachim. I know. I don't know, I don't remember where it is. I don't think it's in First Barak of Brachas. First Barak of Brachas? No, it's not in First Barak of
Brachas.
I think it's in Mike Cotton. Something tells me it's my cut.
That's what people love Gomorrah with a nigger.
It's not in the first bag of brachas. Not there. But I think it might be in my cut. Rabbi Schiff will find it.
But, what?
Not in brachas. No, yeah. Might be wrong, yeah.
This seems like. Changing that when people go to a certain sugya and it goes so far deep, is this like saying that's really not the best way of doing things?
No, Adarabba.
No, you have to. It's very.
Adarabba, the more you toil in learning, the more Tyra toils for you.
Yeah, Amelim Batyra.
Amelim Batyra. Toil in learning. That's my advice. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Kal Adam Amal Nivra. Every human being is created to work. Thanks to Adam and Rishon, B'zayas HaPecha Pecha Lechem, we are here to toil in this world. Shenamrak Ki Adam L'Amal Yulad. Person is born to toil. Any day, I don't know, in L'Amal Pat Nivra, in L'Amal Malacha Nivra. Is he created to toil with his mouth, or created to toil with his work? Shuaim Ki Akab Al-Apiyu, he bent his mouth. Hab'amal L'Amal Pat Nivra. Meaning, the best thing he is toils for, he's created for, meaning everybody works, he's lucky if he gets to work with his mouth, which at this point we don't know what that means. Does it mean Tyra, or does it mean Tfila Sicha, meaning other aspect? Where is it? When it says Layam is sepatera zemi picha, it means he was created to learn in Torah. V'ayinu dami Ravi, kuli gufa de peruvta kinyanu. Rashi has tup shatim. Everybody has to work, has to toil. Taiva, lucky is the one with the zachi that he zaychad av the ruptaki the rai said that his work is in Torah. Rashi, Torah, the ruptaki tachonim al klemer gol hagufim amal nivru. Everybody is created to work. Lucky is the one that zaycha and his toil is in Tyra. It's a long wallet. We're all made to accept. To put things into our brain. Lucky is the one that becomes a container for Tyra. That's the Gemara Baita Noyef Isha Chaser Leiv. Hashem Shat in the Pasuk is one who is mizana with a lady. Is missing a heart. Amar Esh Lakish, Zehaloy Metaira Leprakim. It's referring to somebody who learns Taira at intervals. He doesn't commit himself. It's a relationship without a commitment. Znus is a relationship without a lave, without a commitment. So a person who learns Torah at intervals lacks the commitment to Torah. Shenamei kinoyim, it'll be sweet. Kisishmarei mebitnecha, and you watch it in your stomach. When will that be true? Yechaynu yachdav asfasecha, when they're together on your lips, when there's a consistency to it. Rashi, loy material leprokim, ve'ena loy metadir tadir. Kamisha ain lo isha, it's like a person who doesn't have a wife. Popoil, pamimzu, one with this lady, one with that lady. No commitment. When does a person get to watch Torah, the whole Torah? When it's organized and it's together on his lips, meaning it's consistent.
That,
what?
It's
not a fair question, I agree. Because it's to retool, because what happens is everybody needs a break. I mean, Azmanim is supposed to give a person the break to be able to come back and hit it with a freshness. That's what it meant. Now, whether exactly how long it would have to be for it to be a break, obviously every person needs a different amount of break. But you can't make a Bein Azmanim tailor-made for every person, so they decide on a length of a Bein Azmanim.
So you're allowed to learn Bein Azmanim.
Yeah, there's no way to learn Bein Azmanim, but the consistency, the intensity is not there. It's to give people time to pull them, you know, to recharge their batteries. Tana Rabbana Ma Nefesh Asher Tasta B'Yad Rama. A Nefesh that does in a, what's Yad Rama? Haughty hand? How does he translate Yad Rama?
High-handedly.
Zem Menashe B'Chizkiyo. He was a Megal Uponim B'Tayrish Shaloi Kalocha. Shayayishim B'Tayrish B'Agadah Shodayfi. He darshaned with wasted, how does he learn Hagadah Shodayfi? Flawed Hagadahs?
Narratives in a ridiculing fashion.
Amar, he said, because Moshe had nothing better to write in the Torah than to say that the sister of Leitan is Timna. The Timna is a Pelegish Lalifot, and Timna was a concubine to Elisha Lifot. Also, Vayelach Ruven b'meg tzir chitim. Ruven went in the days of the harvest of the wheat. Vayim to the doam basad, and he found these flowers. The Gemara is going to say what they are later in the field. Justice of Basco of Armaloy said, we have to know this? Why is that important in Torah? Justice of Basco, the Basco came out and said, Armaloy, let me just finish this. Teishe Bachicha Sedaber, you sit and speak against your brother. The Ben Imcha Titan Daifi, you find fault with your son of your mother, meaning you make fun of Torah. Elu Asisa Vechrashti, you did it if I kept quiet. Dimisa Yaisaya Kamaycha, you would think that I agree with you. I will give you Musa Ve'erka Ve'enecha, and I will present it in front of you. Meaning you would be punished for making fun of Torah. Balav Mefurish B'Kabbalah, on him the Navi says, Hoy Moishchei Ha'avayn V'chavle Hashav, woe to those who pull the sin with false ropes. U'ka'avay Se'egla, and like the ropes of a calf, chata are sins. My ka'avay Se'egla, what does it mean like ropes of an egla? At the beginning, it's similar to a spider's web. I think it's an agala or egla. It is agala, I'm sorry, a wagon. And then it becomes like the ropes of a wagon. What's takip shat? Why does the Torah tell me achayis leitan timna? Why is that important for us? That the Gemara, I'll tell you what. Mahi. That the Gemara, timna basim alokam avoy. Timna was a princess. Aleph Leitan, Aleph Timna. So we see Leitan and Timna were officers. Aleph Machusu B'Leitagihi. Aleph means a ruler without the crown. Not kings, but high up there, princesses. V'inu Ligura, she wanted to be Megaya. She came to Avraham Avinu and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov, and she said, accept me as a Jewess. I want to join your family. I want to join you. Eitz Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov V'Leikabluha. They did not accept her. Why they didn't accept her? Some say they questioned whether her resolve was real. They were doubting whether she really meant it or not. Others say because she was a mamzeres. She was an illegitimate child, and they did not want to accept an illegitimate child into the fold. But
what difference does it make? She wasn't Jewish.
On those days, we didn't say Gersh and his guys. Maybe at that point, they didn't say it. It was before Matan Torah. So she became a concubine to a leaf of Ben Esav. Amr, she said, Mutu te shifcha lumazu. I'd rather be a shifcha to this nation, le te gvira luma acheres. And I don't want to be a princess in a different nation. Because of that, nafik mina amolig de tzirinu l'Yisrael. Because they rejected her, and she really wanted to become Jewish, to the point that she was willing to degrade herself and be a plegish, she got amolig, who's been bothering us ever since. My timer, the leboy lulu rochko, they should not have distanced her. Let me just finish the Rashi. If you don't mind, I'd just like to finish the Rashi. So Rashi, lehoyle lemaisha, we did that. Lehoyle lemaisha lifted the chayis leitin timna, vitmiya. Dabashen it's horrible, it's unnecessary. Lechayne malaglig v'aymer, and he was making fun and saying, shekastu maisha shalay, the tzarech maisha wrote it unnecessarily. Kamim mefarish dayna megalabonim v'tayra, later on the Gemara calls that megalabonim v'tayra. Vayelach ruvein hayinami shalay le tzarech. Bechavli hashom bechinam, for no reason, v'lashum hanoha yechayte, he sends without any pleasure. Nachusim v'lay tagu, sar gadol. He's not crowned. The kibun the timnoi tachoyz melech, badi bat melech. She must have been the daughter of a king. Mutim she ayeshim kolum mezul lebnei Avraham Yitzchok sheim yiri shemayim, which are yiri shemayim. Le'erek giveres umacheres. Le'kach nasis. That's why she became plagish. The leaf is menesim. Shoyim mizere Yitzchok. Le'rocha mitachas kampi ashchina. Shoyim lam legayra. They should have been the guy her death.
First of all, to answer the question,